From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Over the next 2 weeks, a bunch of medical professionals around the country are up against a year-end deadline to complete their CME. It stands for Continuing Medical Education, and it's something healthcare professionals need to do at regular intervals in order to keep doing their jobs. Think renewing your truck driving license, but for doing surgery, proving you're still able to do the procedures, and updating your skill set to meet the latest requirements. Where do these people train? At what's called a simulation center. There's one in the Bronx here in New York, and we visited the NYC Health and Hospital Simulation Center the other day to check out the facilities, which include replicas of operating rooms and, yep, lifelike mannequins, super lifelike mannequins.
He just blinked again. That is crazy. So this is a dummy, a male. I don't know how old he is. He's in a hospital bed. He's blinking. He definitely has teeth. And he's breathing. I can see his chest rising and falling. Oh, he's fully anatomically correct, as you just showed me.
That was me getting the full tour from Dr. Komal Bajaj, a reproductive geneticist and clinical director at the Simulation Center. And along with the dummy stuff, Dr. Bajaj and her team are engaging with a growing ecosystem of apps that help professionals practice and train for their tests. One of these apps that you can get on your phone is called Airway X, where, for instance, you can use those text-happy thumbs to practice carefully inserting a tube into someone's nasal cavity.
So you can hear here the heartbeat of this patient. I'm looking at the vital signs, her heart rate 75, saturating 99% on room air. And I want to make sure that she gets her surgery. So I'm going to quickly pass through the nasal turbinates here. And it's telling me, hey, watch out. Don't abrade the tissue. So I'm moving through. And what's amazing is that this is giving me the same stimulus as I would have in a real OR setting where I'm hearing the heartbeat, right?
Yeah, it sped up a second ago.
It sped up because I touched her tissue.
Okay, it's opening. Go,
right.
go.
Go. Okay. And so now it's telling me I'm in the right spot and I'm going to pass my tube.
Whoa.
Boom.
What's the difference between this and practicing on a cadaver?
A cadaver may be really great at teaching someone anatomy, for example, but it's not going to give someone the stimulus of a beating heartbeat or mucus or blood, because that's just not what a cadaver can do.
Can you talk a little bit about the business of these apps or what your sense of it is?
Apps like this can make money really two ways. One, by charging, and also there may be ways to infuse various brands into an app like this. So for example, you know, they want to feature a certain kind of scope for a month, and that company might pay a charge for that.
But you think that this stuff is useful and can maybe one day replace certain aspects of the education you're trying to do, but maybe not everything.
Combining various elements of training, whether it's this app, whether it's simulation-based education, whether it's e-learning, all of those are going to help us create a better healthcare workforce.
What are the challenges of introducing this stuff?
One is getting the word out. People who are used to a typical kind of CME, they may not be seeing these opportunities.
Komal Bajaj, she is an OBGYN, and we are here with her at the Simulation Center in the Bronx, where she is co-director. Komal, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you for coming by.
More on all of this at marketplacetech.org. We may not yet know what the year 2017 will bring in terms of technology, but your listener support of Marketplace guarantees we'll all be better informed and better prepared, flying cars or not. Make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Let's travel back in time for a second. 1999, the year I graduated high school and the year the first emoji came to be in Japan. That is a long time ago, long enough ago that now it's considered high art, artistic enough to be at the Museum of Modern Art here in New York.
Original emoji are now on display in the MoMA lobby, and Codebreaker producer Claire Tennisgetter paid a visit and brought us this glimpse.
I'm Paola Antonelli. I work at the Museum of Modern Art, where I'm a senior curator of architecture and design. We are in the lobby of the Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan, and we are looking at the original set of the emoji from 1999. There are 176. They are heavily pixelated and beautifully so, but you still recognize them. You can tell that one is a glass of beer, another one is an airplane. They were designed by Shigetaka Kurita for NTT Docomo, which is a Japanese telecommunication company. They were a way to deliver fast information about, say, weather forecast or the phases of the moon or even the horoscope. And interestingly, they became quickly adopted by people all over the world as ways to add depth and also as ways to bypass translation in different languages. I think that the most important thing that you get is to see them in the Museum of Modern Art. I think it is a wonderful and beneficial shock to come into a place that displays Matisse and Picasso and to see the emoji.
They look very pixelated. Just...
Do you use any emoji yourself?
I just put them at the end of sentences for no reason.
I think it's neat. I know my little granddaughter likes emojis. I didn't know what an emoji was until I said, what's an emoji? Oh, it's a Japanese word is what I was told. But no, I think that's adorable. It's art, and I like it.
Do you recognize any emoji that you use?
I use the poop emoji all the time, so apparently they don't have it there.
Apparently they don't, but the exhibit is at the MoMA through March. Okay, I triple dog dare you to tell me how you feel about emoji being considered high art alongside Picasso, etc. with emoji. Tweet your thoughts at me. I'm at The Brock Johnson, or post your emoji thoughts at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.